This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Extraordinary Endeavor. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this is episode 8 of our series. Today, we're taking a look at culture and vision as relationships between employers and employees can be quite tricky in light of what's been happening around the world. Our mentor for today has been in various different industries as a CFO and now currently the group CEO of iMoney Group. He is Mitho Lakhani.
Hi, I'm Mitho Lakhani. I'm the group CEO of iMoney. I have been the CEO for the last 2 years and really spent a lot of my time focusing on the people within the organization, predominantly around culture and what is the sort of culture that we want to create at iMoney. So we spent a lot of our time over the last 12, 18 months, doing a lot of sort of external training, getting people to focus on things such as growth mindset, feedback, and being able to and feeling empowered to make decisions, and essentially wanting to empower and give people an opportunity to take ownership. So, this topic is quite timely, and I'm looking forward to share as much as my experience and my learnings as I can.
And our entrepreneurs for today are once again part of Endeavor's Scale Up program, where you can gain access to top business mentors to accelerate your growth. To get more information about this program, just head on over to scaleupendeavor.com. First up, we have Jun Yuen Lim, the CEO and co-founder of Mossery.
Hey Mitho, my name is Jun, CEO and co-founder of Mossery. We're an e-commerce startup that offers personalized stationery.
Jun's first question was on how to strike a balance between high-performance culture and nurturing culture with employees.
How do you strike a balance between high-performing culture where it's less forgiving versus a culture of nurturing and training employees? How do you decide which is the right culture for your company?
I think that's always a dilemma for any sort of leader within an organization is, what is the sort of the right kind of culture to create? My personal view is, and this is something we're taking on board at iMoney as well, is, we don't think a high performance culture versus a nurturing culture are sort of mutually exclusive. We're very much, and I very much believe that it's important to strike a balance between these two different types of cultures. Essentially, when you want to build and create any sort of culture, it requires a significant amount of time and investment into your employees, in training them, in giving them the opportunity, in allowing them to grow, and so on and so forth. I think for us and for myself, the most important type of culture you want to create is a culture that allows individuals to grow, continuously grow and learn and improve, feel empowered, take ownership, whilst ensuring that there's also alignment, focus, and execution of common goals and objectives to move the business forward, right? And that is that, in my view, is sort of the right balance. So you need to invest with time, patience, and continued investment. And that way you ensure sort of greater productivity, ownership, growth mindset, and sustainable and consistent execution and performance across the board to get you the outcomes that you're looking for.
I like what Mitho said there in that there's more on you to ensure that there's a culture that allows your employees to grow. High performance culture doesn't mean that there's no room for learning. We all, at the end of the day, are still learning, even if you're at the CEO level. Jun's second question is a little bit of a hard one. It's about underperforming staff and if it comes to letting them go without affecting the company's morale.
If an employee is underperforming, how do you know that he or she needs more training or the employee is just not up for the job? If we come to a decision of firing an employee, how can we do it in such a way that the morale of the company is not destroyed?
Yeah, this is probably a very sort of sensitive topic in terms of letting go of employees, especially at times like this. I think the key thing is to really understand what is driving underperformance, and you're right, an employee sort of underperforming. There could be various reasons for that. One, it could be directly related to the skill set that they have. The other one is could be related to the attitude, i.e. they don't really care, or they're not interested, or they're not motivated. Or it could be something that they have issues with people within the organization or within the teams and so on and so forth. So I think first and foremost, it's really important to understand, you know, what is causing that underperformance, right? That then allows you to then make decisions in terms of what is the best next step to take, right? I always find that if it's skills related, then you can give them an opportunity to train and learn and improve. And then at least give them a chance to get their skills to the level that, you know, you would expect from that role. And using that would help sort of address some of the underperformance. If it's really attitude related, and, you know, you've done everything that you can to help them to overcome that challenge that they're facing or whatever it is, then you don't really have a choice but to let them go. I think the third piece around underperformance is, you know, if their underperformance is having a much larger impact on their team and on the larger organization, and which ultimately is then creating toxicity within the business and really having an impact on the culture, then that's something you really have to, you know, draw a line under and let that person go. I think the most important thing in doing this process is open communication, being perfectly transparent. Make sure you're engaging with the employee to understand what the issues are and what's driving the underperformance. Help them out as much as possible to the extent that you can. But ultimately, if things still don't work out, then you have to let them go, right? And then in terms of the company and you know, how do you ensure that the morale is not destroyed? Again, it's making sure you're very clear in terms of what you're communicating, being open and being transparent. I think the one thing, especially, you know, what we're learning at times like this is open communication, being as transparent as possible and being as detailed as possible in your communication to the rest of the organization is absolutely fundamental and really, really important for people to continue to build that trust and build that culture where people actually appreciate and understand why some of the decisions are being made.
So is it skills related that you can train and you can give that opportunity, or is it an attitude issue? I think, you know, what Mittal said, this needs to be clearly identified and ensure that the communication is open. They know what their issues are and you're there to help them out. But if things don't work out, you've got to let them go. So be open and be transparent, just as what Mittal said. Interestingly, our next entrepreneur had almost the same question to Mittal. He is Zen Ng, the COO and the co-founder of Vaas.ai.
Hi, my name is Zen. I'm the co-founder and COO of Vaas.ai, a consumer intelligence company here in Malaysia.
And here's what he had to ask.
In trying to retain a high-performing talent that wants to leave, where do you draw the line?
Again, a good question. I think it's very similar to the previous question in terms of how would you address that kind of situation where, you know, someone who's a high talent or a strong talent in the organization wants to leave. First thing is to really sit down with them and understand the reasons for leaving, right? Now, the reasons for leaving are typically financial related or non-financial related. So again, the more you can dig deeper to really understand the reasons for leaving, then that allows you to address what it is that needs to be done or what it is that you can do to be enable yourself to retain them, right? So you have an idea. If it's financial related, then it's obvious that it needs to go, you know, there's something that we have to work through in terms of a financial package or a compensation and so on and so forth. So it's really about how can you meet the ask and the requirements, and if there's a middle ground. If it's non-financial related, what is it? What's really driving that? Is it because they don't like the culture of the company? Is it because they have issue with someone specific in the organization? Is it that they just, you know, feel that they're not learning or not developing and so on and so forth? So can you then, using that information and that transparency that you're getting, can you then create or find a solution that addresses their frustrations or their concerns and basically what the reasons why they are looking to leave. So it's really about sitting down and having that very sensible conversation.
We'll go for a short break, but when we come back, we will continue our journey with our Scale Up Endeavor entrepreneurs, asking the questions to our mentor for today, Mithul Lakhani, the Group CEO of iMoney Group. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Busy following Money Trail, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, and this is episode 8 of Extraordinary Endeavor. Our mentor for today is the Group CEO of iMoney Group, Mithul Lakhani. And asking the questions today, just as we went for a quick break, was Zen Ng, the COO and the co-founder of Vast.ai, who's also part of Endeavor Malaysia's Scale Up program. So let's continue. Zen's second question was asking Mithul on his personal experiences when it comes to retaining measures.
In your experience, what kinds of retaining measures have worked well or backfired?
Yeah, so, I mean, in my experience, what I've found is, if it's just purely financial related, without a desire to really stay in the company, believe in the company's values, believe in the company's objectives and goals, it tends to be sort of a band-aid to the problem, especially if we can't meet those sort of financial requests or demands. But if it's something that they are, if it's for non-financial reasons, then again, it's really about understanding what they want and then being able to structure something that is feasible. I think the most important thing, and again, I keep going back to this point, is about transparency and being honest. If someone is leaving and for a reason, and there's no way you can help them overcome that reason, or there's no way that you can offer them something that helps them overcome that reason, then you just gotta, wish them well and thank them for all of their contribution to the business, and keep in touch. But if there is ways and means in terms of how you can really help them, and you feel that that's important to do this, also not just to retain them, but also help them with their growth, which helps with the overall company's growth, then there are solutions that make sense. So it really comes down to, if you're retaining someone and they're only purely motivated by the financial side of things, you may find that it's more of a short-term fix. But if it's someone who's really, really wants to stay, but doesn't really feel that they're getting the right kind of opportunity in terms of learning, development, career progression, etc., then that's someone who has intrinsic motivation to really grow. They're keen to grow with the business. It's just that they're not getting the opportunity. And I think that is where, if you can find solutions, you will find that they tend to be a lot more sustainable.
And finally, Zen's last question was on contingency plans. If a top performer leaves your organization immediately,
what are some of the contingency steps that we can plan ahead if any of our top execs, Salesforce, or other intellectual capital were to leave our organization tomorrow?
So this is always one of the biggest sort of the challenges, especially in the tech space today, or maybe not so much at this specific point of time, but generally speaking, where there's, a lot less supply than there is demand for good talent, especially in this region. And what we believe and what we think is the right approach to sort of do this and address some of the risk associated with your talent leaving is make sure you have a pipeline and continuously build a pipeline. So what is really important there is you're continuously engaging with talent that's available out there. You're continuously meeting them. You're continuously building that pipeline of people who could potentially come in and replace some of the key roles within your organization if those people were to leave. And you weren't successful in retaining them. So the first thing is to build that pipeline and make sure you continuously have the ability to replace people as and when they leave. The second one is, ensure that you've identified the key risk roles. And what you do is you mitigate that with so what if this person leaves scenario planning. Right. So if you have a key person, a key talent within your organization, and you've identified them as a risk in terms of leaving, the first thing you ask yourself is, if this person leaves, what impact is it going to have? Right. And then how do you mitigate it? Can you have someone stepping in into that role temporarily while you look for a replacement? Can you have multiple people sort of, through knowledge sharing, understanding and dividing and conquering that person's role when they leave? you know, making sure you have all of your documentation so that there is continuity from a business perspective, there's knowledge transfer and so on and so forth. So it's really making sure that as you go through each of your key people within your organization, you have a plan in the event that they do decide to leave and you can't retain them.
Build a pipeline, a talent pipeline at that. And firstly, also, I think, identify the key roles and plan for what would happen if said person leaves. Play out that scenario to help you ease the shock if or when it ever happens. Mittal, I've got a couple of questions here before I let you go. In light of what's been happening, how are you keeping your staff and employees engaged during this point of time? Especially when most companies are probably not going to be hitting their 2020 goals at this point of time. You know, many would probably be feeling defeated or just, you know, lack of motivation with the remainder of the year. How are you, or how can business leaders keep their employees motivated, engaged, and hopefully maybe even achieve some goals, new or old?
Sure. That's a really good question. And clearly, you know, top of mind for a lot of business leaders at this point of time. I think the first thing that we've done is really made sure that we've communicated probably a lot more than we have in the past, because you just don't see people face to face. So it's make sure it's really important that we jump on, you know, Zoom, Google Meet, or whatever all of these video calls are, and make sure we, you know, we have those daily huddles. Number one, and number two, we brought in a little bit more variety into our sort of our daily catch ups or regular catch ups. So you know, I have one with my management team every day in the afternoon, and there are times where, you know, we won't even talk about work. It could be just, you know, how things are going. It could be, you know, we have a game. So on Fridays, we started this new thing where someone gets to be the CEO for the day. And what they do is they can organize a sort of a training theme for our daily huddle, or a game or an activity or so on and so forth. So this is, again, you know, it's about mixing it up. It's about making sure we have some fun as well, whilst we're continuing to focus on work. The other important thing is keep celebrating the wins, no matter how small they are. And then the last thing is, you know, to make sure that your team's engaged, make sure you're giving them very, very clear updates in terms of how the big business is progressing, what the outlook looks like, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you may not have a view in terms of what the outlook is. You may even be wrong, but at least you're communicating with them and telling them, look, this is what our view is based on the information that we have. And as and when that outlook changes, you should please continue to make sure that you update them. So that communication piece, updating, having fun, and celebrating wins are all super, super important at times like this.
And with all that video conferencing activities that's been happening, we can't see our employees or staff, you know, most of the time. You know, working from home has been the trend now. It's the new norm. And it brings a different kind of challenge. You know, some are with kids and some have to take care of their parents. So how do you go about with culture in this period of time?
Look, my own personal view is culture is the single most important thing for any organization. You know, without a strong, positive culture, it's very, very difficult to execute effectively and execute over a longer term in a sustainable manner. So even in situations like this, that hasn't really changed. Culture is still super important. But also it's up to the business leaders within an organization to make sure that they're continuously working and putting effort in and investing time and resources in continuing to build and grow that culture. Just because we are in an office, just because we're in these sort of situations, there's no reason why we can't continuously help our staff and our team in terms from a learning and development perspective, make sure we're putting together, helping them with training programs, making sure we're still organizing, engaging activities, continuing to basically do all the things that we would do to continue to promote a strong growth culture if we're in the office. And we just want to make sure that we continue to do that even whilst we're still under the current situation and the current scenario. So to answer your question, culture still, to me, the most important aspect of any organization, irrespective of current situation, current times versus what it was pre-COVID-19.
And that was Mito Lakhani, the Group CEO of iMoney Group, talking about culture and vision with your talent as he took questions from our entrepreneurs for today. Junyuan Lim, the CEO and the co-founder of Mossery, and Zen Eng, the COO and co-founder of Vast.ai. Our entrepreneurs are part of the Scale Up Endeavor program, and you can get more information about this on their website. It is scaleupendeavor.my. If you missed any parts of this show, or if you missed last week's episode, you can download the podcast now, available on the BFM website or BFM app. This series was made possible thanks to our partner, Endeavor Malaysia. And for more information about how you can seek mentorship advice, visit endeavormalaysia.org. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and until next week, stay safe. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.